And if we could have the scribes in Los Angeles send us another text sample, we lost our feed. That would be great. Just a short test so we know that our window's up and good. Perfect. Thank you. Of the transcript, this is GAC meeting with CCNSO, GAC meeting with CCNSO from 1400 to 1530 on Tuesday, July 16th in Hall 4AB.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our session with the Country Code Name Supporting Organization. We have a few items that we will hear from the CCNSO on, and this will really, I hope, help the GAC refocus on some of the issues that are under discussion and development within the CCNSO. There are a number of things that are of interest to us governments, and so welcome. It's nice to have the CCNSO back. We've had to put a lot of our joint efforts with other parts of the community on hold to work on GTLDs. So this is a welcome return to our former way of working together. Again, welcome, and I will turn over to my co-chair for this session, Leslie Cowley, who is the chair of the CCNSO. So, Leslie.
Thank you, Heather, and we're very pleased to be back with you. Before we go into our agenda, let me just make a pleasurable announcement. To say that this meeting is the 10th anniversary of the CCNSO. So it's a major milestone for us that we are celebrating. And I hope you will have heard already that we are celebrating this evening, and GAC members have an invitation to join us. And in fact, I am told we have a GAC bus that will be leaving this venue at 7:15 or thereabouts, depending on when you are ready. For any of you that would like to join us this evening. So, the main business with you today, we thought it would be very helpful to give you an update on the internationalized domain names policy development process, which, if I slip into acronyms, will now be the IDN, CC, PDP, and also to touch on, at your request, the panel addition to the fast track that I know a number of GAC colleagues are interested in. After that, we plan to move on to an update on the Framework of Interpretation Working Group. That one especially is very important for us to have GAC attention, for want of a better phrase, but most certainly GAC attention and inputs to that work. And I know several GAC colleagues have been doing their best to be involved in that, if I can put it as politely as possible, whilst you've been dealing with other things. Then we move on quickly to a study group, the study group on the use of country names. And if we have time at the end of our hour, we'd like to briefly talk about how we could work better together in terms of both our interactions and bringing value to our engagement. Anyway, to begin, we'll give you the IDN CCPDP update, for which I'll hand over to Bart.
Thank you, Leslie. I hope everybody's awake now after this slight interruption. Next slide, please. Just to brief you on the current status of the IDN CCTLD policy development process. In Beijing, the Council adopted the recommendations that came through the working groups with proposals for the selection of country of IDN CCTLD strings and on the inclusion of IDN CCTLDs in the CCNSO. As a result, just prior to the Council meeting, the GAC has been formally asked for advice or opinion, and that was on the 3rd of April, and this is part of the policy development rules for the CCNSO as defined in Annex B of the bylaws. And currently we are in the process of a CCNSO members vote. Unfortunately, we had a first round of members vote that failed due to lack of voting. According to the rules, we have at least 50% of the members need to vote, and we came three votes short. So 50% means 68 CCNSO members, and we were stuck with 65. So this method, so this round of voting will not be deployed or employed, and we now into a second and final. We will start a second and final round of voting that will start on the 24th of July until the 13th of August. And the quorum rule doesn't apply, but we hope we will get more votes than the 50%. Next slide, please. As I said, part of, say, the GAC has been asked for advice or opinion according to the policy development rules. Just for your information, if you look at the document itself, it consists, in fact, of three sections of recommendations or proposals. One, as I said, for the selection of IDN CCTLD strings. Secondly, on the inclusion of IDN CCTLD strings in the IDN CCTLD managers in the CCNSO, and some miscellaneous one. And I will briefly touch upon all of them. What you have to keep in mind is that in due course, when the board adopts the policy or the recommendations of the CCNSO, the overall policy will replace the current fast-track methodology. Next slide, please. The structure of the policy itself, recommendations, as I said, on the selection of IDN CCTLD strings. More in detail, there are overarching principles that will guide the interpretation and implementation of the criteria and the procedures and documentation required, and some miscellaneous recommendations. And if you look on the recommendations on the inclusion, again, overarching principles, recommendations, and proposed changes to Article 9 of the ICANN bylaws and Annex B. Article 9 deals specifically with the CCNSO. You will find some notes and comments in the final report as well, but they're not part of the policy, but assist the interpretation of the statements of the policy itself. So that's explicitly noted. But it's helpful with the next steps of implementation in future. Next slide, please. Main points of the policy of for the selection of IDN CCTLD strings itself. The proposed policy will build on the fast-track methodology, and it will address only a few issues and some substantive changes. First of all, to date, under the fast-track, the non-ASCII, the string had to be completely non-ASCII. Under the policy itself, you'll see that the requested string needs to contain at least one non-ASCII character. So this would enable, for example, España, with the tilde on the N, I believe it is, to become a IDN CCTLD string, because the N with the tilde is a non-ASCII character. The confusing similarity issues that we saw our address, probably there was the two-panel structure. There is a placeholder on the IDN variant management issues, so that means in future time when the issues have been resolved around what is IDN variants and the policy issues are more clearer, that we need to revisit it and add this to the policy itself. And there is an update and clarification of processes. Next slide, please. The miscellaneous ones, and again, this is probably innovative in the sense of if you compare it with other policies, there is an explicit proposal and that the policy needs to be reviewed in 5 years after implementation, so as a moment it becomes effective. There is the advice or the recommendation to create an advisory group to assist staff with the implementation itself and after implementation, even during the execution. So, and the recommendation is that this advisory group will be cross-constituency, so not just the CCNSO, but also the recommendation to include one or two GAC members, maybe members of the GNSO and at large, in order to look at the scope of the policy and to assist the board and staff on with implementations if they have any questions. And finally, the final recommendations is to avoid any doubt or to clarify the role of the CCNSO with regard to the implementation plan is that the CCNSO Council, in effect, but therefore the CCNSO community, monitors the implementation planning and adopts it. So there is a clear interaction between staff and the CCNSO as well with regard to implementation. Again, this is based on some of the experience we had with other policies. Next slide, please. Inclusion of IDN CCTLDs in the CCNSO. The major overarching principle that is also for this with regard to the selection is that IDN CCTLDs and ASCII CCTLDs, so the current CCTLDs, should be treated similar. And that's an overarching principle throughout both both sections of say, the recommendations. What it means, and if you look at what needs to be done to include IDN CCTLDs in the CCNSO, the membership definition needs to be adjusted. A principal choice and proposal from the working group and, say, and endorsed by the Council is there will be one vote per territory. In some cases, and there are examples already, you have 11 CCTLDs, according, say, if you take into account the definition of the overarching principle for one territory or for one country. In a specific case, this is India, and it's run by one entity. In that case, the whole balance in the CCNSO would be distorted if all of them would become members. And, say, on the other end, because some countries do just have one language, they could only be member through their CCTLD, current CCTLD. So the proposal is one vote per territory. The main choice was one vote per territory, and there are some mechanisms proposed to make this, to ensure this. Again, a small adjustment on the initiation of PDPs that's around it, and no further major changes. Next slide, please. Now, as you may have noted in one, say, when I gave you an update on the current status of the PDP, the CCNSO Council had adopted the final report coming out of the policy development process. At the same time, and because that was stable, that meant that the policy was stable, the CCNSO Council proposed to the board to implement and experiment with the two-panel solution under the fast-track methodology. This was done in order to ensure a couple of things. First of all, because it's a change in the way we're dealing with it, and we wanted to make sure, say, from the CC side, that we really address the issues that we've encountered with the confusingly similarity review. Therefore, it is done on an experimental basis under the fast-track process to test the two-panel situation, especially the methodology. So on the 27th of June, the board adopted the fast-track and updated and amended fast-track process implementation plan, and with the amendment, two panel process for string similarity review is included in the implementation plan. So that was the first part of it. At the same time, it was clear the methodology it still needs to be solidified, etc. The second major change, or the second request from the CCNSO, and that's been implemented as well, is that all pending requests for IDN CCTLD strings under the fast track process should be given the opportunity to request a review by the second panel. and the implementation plan will become effective once the second panel is comprised. That means once it's been appointed and adopted, that is the end of, and by that time the methodology and the criteria, etc., will be solidified as well. That was my update.
Thank you very much for that update, Bart. For GAC colleagues, first of all, we do have a longstanding lead on this issue, Manal Ismail from Egypt. Unfortunately, she's not at the meetings today, so we appreciate your coming to brief us on that. And to remind some of our more experienced colleagues and to inform some of our newer representatives, there have been two major activities regarding IDN or non-ASCII country code top-level domains. So many of you will know that there was a fast track put in place with very specific rules because it was expected to be just that, a fast track, and not a long-standing policy in the area of introducing top-level domains that are country codes and, again, IDNs, not ASCII top-level domain country codes. And so that was put in place, and in the meantime, a policy development process was initiated over the longer term, and that's what's being worked on, and that's what we have just been updated about, is that longer-term process. So we have not been commenting as a GAC on that longer-term process, but it is important because it will replace the fast track once it is agreed. And so for any of you that are looking for or looking to introduce country code top-level domains in IDNs in the future, then this is the policy that would apply once it has all been agreed. So one point about the fast track that Bart just updated us about is the creation of a second review panel as part of the fast track. And I know this is significant for some of you because you had been seeking reconsideration in terms of the fast track because of results that you had received regarding a country code IDN request that you had made, and that has been discussed in the GAC before. So I think it's relevant to receive an update on that particular point as well. So I do thank you for that, Bart. Germany, do you have a question?
Yes, thank you. I would have a question in respect of string similarity testing. We learned that there is now an additional panel for defining or finding out string similarities. There is some kind of, as far as I know, some kind of algorithm that has been developed for defining or finding out whether there are string similarities for this fast-track process. And I just wanted to know whether these methods, these criteria, are exactly the same of the criteria we now use also for the GTLD process, where we also introduce different scripts and also have the questions, as you may know, between whether to what extent plurals and singulars are confusingly similar. It would be important that the criteria and the algorithm used for these would be the same ones. And I just want to verify whether this is the case.
What you will see, say, the criteria under the fast track and the new GTLD base being using, and the findings of the first panel, it's another way of looking at the results and at the confusing similarity. And the second panel, has not been introduced to the new GTLD process. this in that sense. It is really experimental and it's a real novelty. For the I'm sorry, I can't tell you whether the algorithms and criteria for the current first panel and the new GTLD process are the same. I assume, and this is my assumption being a policy support staff, that the algorithm will be the same, but as the two panels are different, they use a different methodology. Because they have, if you look at it, the new GTLD panel doesn't have to look at the confusing similarity, for example, between with two letter codes, and that's some of the issues we've encountered in the fast track process, that some requested string were considered to be confusingly similar with two letter codes. That's one thing the new GTLD process doesn't do, because you can't apply for a two-letter code under the new GTLD process.
Thank you, Bart. Germany, does that answer your question? You look like you might have a follow-up comment.
Yes, because I think it's important that methodology for both approaches, and I'm a bit surprised that yes, there may be differences, and maybe also be a proposal or discussion, but this is something we need to go further for when we discuss the GTLD process. Thank you.
Thank you, Germany. Sri Lanka, you are next.
Thank you, Chair. Brief comment. Sri Lanka, as you know, has benefited from IDN, CCTLD fast-track process. So in that context, we value the work that has been done and welcome the interim report that has come out and recognize the fact that you are setting up an advisory group to assist in the implementation and other related work. What is the time frame for a comment on the report that has come out? Because we intend submitting comments having not participated in the Beijing meeting, so this one that I had in mind. Thank you.
This is a final report. As I said, it's already been adopted by the council, and it is now for membership vote. In that sense, there is no more, from a PDP point of view, policy development process point of view, there is no more public comment period. As I said in my introduction, and if you look at the current state, the GAC has been asked for advice and opinion, and I don't know the status of that one, but I assume that is the channel for you to comment upon, say, the final outcome of, say, the policy development process, because that's the status right now.
Thank you, Bart. So because the GAC has been following this as a whole, we would want to comment on the final report or whatever has been agreed by the CCNSO Council. So I would just like to put down a marker there that that we should allow for that opportunity and take note of it as a GAC that this is to us. In the GAC. So let's not forget that and put down a marker that that is something that we should look at. Okay. Are there any other questions or comments? EU Commission, please.
Yeah, just on your market share, I accept that point that GAC might further consider this, but I would not wish to delay the process, and I would just like to be very clear.
On the IDN PDP? Yeah. Okay. I have United States. Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you all for the update. And my apologies for not having read the report in detail, so there may be an answer in the document. But what you have talked about, the second panel, I think is very consistent with what the GAC submitted to ICANN after its Toronto meeting. There was another element, and I'm just curious if that has worked into to the proposed approach, which is an appeal process. And I was just curious to know if there was something like that in the proposal. Thank you.
The second panel, in that sense, is now I have to be very careful. The second panel is to reconsider strings that did not pass the first panel.
Thank you, Bart. And that is part of the IDN fast track, which is separate from the long-term policy development process, where there is now a final report. And the long-term process will replace the fast track. So you've been informed about two things. The status of the long-term policy development process has been underway for some time, as well as a change to the fast track while we still have it to add a second panel that allows for reconsideration of decisions made by the first panel. Okay. All right. So I think we can move on to the next. I don't see any more questions. So we're going to look at the framework of interpretation working group. And Keith, you're going to take us through that. Okay. Again, for the GAC, this is a working group that is looking at providing further depth and color to existing documents, one of them being GAC principles related to delegation and redelegation of country codes, as well as the other relevant key documents on the same topic. So, Keith, if you could update us. And I'll add as well that Frank March from New Zealand, who is our GAC lead, is also not here. So we're again going to look to the CCNSO to help us there, and I know that the U.S. as well has been involved in that working group. So, Keith, please.
Thank you, Heather. And my name's Keith Davidson, for those who don't know me, and I see a lot of unfamiliar faces in the room. And to my left is Bernie Turcotte, who's from ICANN, or providing staff support contracted by ICANN, and I have the joy of chairing the FOI working group. This might be best put as an attempt, or this working group is attempting to avoid a policy development process, so the opposite of what has just been discussed. This follows on from, as your chair was saying, from the work of the delegations and redelegations working group, who reviewed all of the delegations and redelegations of country code top-level domains as decided by the ICANN board since ICANN's inception. And from the outputs of that review was charged with the development of a framework of interpretation, which is required to provide the colour and depth to understand the policies and guidelines that are in existence. Next slide, please. So the working group itself comprises of mainly members from the CCNSO, but there are cross-constituency members from the GNSO, from At Large, and from the GAC, and we appreciate that. The scope of what I'll run through today is what the scope of the working group is, the processes we've used, the topics that we are interpreting, our activities since the last ICANN meeting, the topic of consent, the topic of significantly interested parties, and the topic of revocation, and they are really three of the four major aspects of our work. Next slide, please. So the scope of this working group was to examine RFC 1591 and the GAC principles of 2005, being the policies and guidelines that apply to the delegations and redelegations of CCTLDs. There are other documents that have asserted themselves to be policies and guidelines, but they've never met a threshold of support from the community. So we've confined ourselves to looking at these two documents and from them trying to provide, without going through a PDP, using those documents to provide a clear framework and a predictable decision-making matrix. Out of scope for the working group is to change any applicable policy or guideline, and also anything to do with the IANA functions contract, including the contract implementation issues or procedures. Next slide. The process is quite simple. We prepare a draft set of interpretations on each of our topics. We then undertake a public consultation. We review the comments and input from that consultation, and we prepare a final report. Next slide. The GAC and CCNSO, you know, since we started work, we've always anticipated that the best way that we could avoid having to do a policy development process would be to have GAC support for the output final framework of interpretation. That way we can take a joint submission from the GAC and the CCNSO to the ICANN board, confirming that support, and using the GAC vehicle of binding advice to the board, it would become essentially the policy for following in the future. Next slide, please. The topics that we thought were most critical from the delegations, redelegations work that we did was the topic of consent, and you know, what consent by an existing manager might mean, and how that might be implied consent or consent under duress and all of those issues. There was also the issue about significantly interested parties, which might also sometimes be referred by some communities as the local internet community, and what that might mean to, you know, and who should be contacted and how to engage and support for the delegation holder. And then there's the difficult topic, the most difficult topic we faced, the concept of revocation or unconsented redelegation. So RFC 1591 specifically provides a methodology by which a CCTLD might be revoked and maybe again redelegated. And this has been a point of considerable contention for our working group. In fact, from before Toronto ICANN through to now, this has been an absolute fixation for us. And I'm really pleased to advise that we have finally developed not just a consensus within the working group, but a unanimous agreement about the aspects of revocation we've been trying to cover. So after a long time struggling with this topic, we've got there, and it's quite timely that we can now bring that back to the GAC. I think our GAC colleagues on the working group haven't been following our debates very much over the past 6 months to a year because we've been bogged in our own detail on this, but we are pleading that they are re-engaged from here on and as we get very close to finalising our work. Next slide, please. And then at the end of our topics for interpretation, we intend producing a comprehensive glossary of terms so that we will see consistent terms used in every delegation and redelegation. And then recommendations for IANA reports on the delegation and redelegation. Next slide, please. The activities we've had since the last ICANN meeting, we've met by five times by teleconference. We've just published a progress report on our activities, and you can pick that up from the CCNSO's part of the ICANN website. And we're, as I've said, we're currently concluding the topic of revocation. Next slide. And So the status on the consent topic, the final report is located at that link, and that will be included as the topic of consent in the final framework. And I think the GAC has already given its implied consent or agreement that, with that topic, subject to final review in the full framework. Next slide, please. And the status on the significantly interested parties topic, we've concluded a round of public consultation, and we will return to this topic, and it's due to come to the GAC for its consideration as one of the topics. Next slide, please. And on revocation, yes, we've done an analysis on the topic of revocation, but we are yet to finesse the final text on that, which we are doing in a face-to-face meeting here, and we aim to have an interim report on this topic for the BAE meeting. Next slide. Probably the issues of interest on revocation, the concept of revocation of a delegation of a CCTLD could occur where the designated manager has substantially misbehaved, and we're providing some colour and depth to what that substantial misbehaviour might comprise of. And also the revocation could occur where there are persistent problems with the proper operation of a domain. So that's within the operation of the DNS. And the other important aspect is that RFC 1591 provides a vehicle for appeal should the manager feel that the revocation was not appropriate, and it should be to an independent body rather than to the ICANN board. Next slide, please. We are meeting here in Durban on Thursday for 3 hours in Hall 4D, and as always, observers are most welcome at that meeting, and if we have time, we generally allow observers the opportunity to speak or participate in our discussions. Next slide, please. And there's the link to the actual working group pages, so you can look back through our history and our documents and contact information for myself and Bernie. And with that, I'll conclude my report and see if there's any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. Are there any questions from the GAC? Any comments? Okay, Iran?
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and thanks for the presentation. Just a very small question for clarification. What does it mean, implied consent? Does it mean tacit agreement? And the follow-up question or continuation of that, is it in this very area tacit agreement is a proper way of proceeding, or we need always specific agreement? Thank you.
Good questions, and covered in considerable detail in the actual report, but essentially the need, the desire is to have consent properly recorded and understanding that consent is not forced, or that the person is giving their consent under free will and not with a gun held to their head and those sorts of issues. So that there needs to be a checking mechanism to go back and say, now you really did mean yes later and so on. I think if you're interested in the topic, I'd be happy to discuss it or read the report.
Thank you. Thank you, Keith. Yes, it's Nauru. Yes?
Thank you, Keith, for the update. I'm just curious to find out whether there will be any conflict between these recommendations and RSC 1591.
no conflict at all. This is purely to add depth to it. It's worth noting that RFC 1591 was created and published in 1994, and it does contain some factual errors today, like, you know, you should register with InterNIC, and there's no such body called InterNIC anymore, and so on. So it's not to try and clarify the redundant aspects of 1591, but purely to assert greater clarity over what is there. So no conflict, whatever.
United States, please.
Thank you again, and thank you, Keith, for the overview and the update. And as one of your GAC colleagues who has sort of volunteered to monitor this, Frank and I have fallen a bit behind. So we frankly will admit to that. It's the focus on new GTLDs. But I would note that the GAC has actually provided comments to you on the first chapter on consent and the second chapter. So would you be looking for us to provide comments on the revocation chapter, and then we will have an exchange on all the whole composite text, and we can sort of better assess how you have taken account, okay, comments into account. Thank you.
For the record, yes.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? Iran?
Yes, Madam Chairman. Just now I take the other sides. Is there any area that you seek or seeking clarification from GAC that you are not clear, that you need further either clarification or confirmation or description, explanations, and so on and so forth? Just so I want to take the other side, that you raise the question and see whether we are in a position to answer or whether we have to think of that. Thank you.
A very good question. No, I think, no, nothing at this stage. It's as we publish the reports, I'm sure New Zealand and US will alert the GAC to the public consultation process, so individual governments may wish to make submissions, or the GAC as a whole. So any individual can make submissions too. So it's an open consultation process, but you'll know at the, you know, at that point that it is in a published form, and hopefully before the Buenos Aires meeting.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for pointing out the timing that opportunity might come up before we meet next, so that will allow us to track it. Okay, all right, so let's move to the next topic, and Leslie, if you can.
Okay, so the next topic is the study group on the use of country names. The presenter, Paul Schindler, who chairs this working group, is here with us, but I'm afraid he is unwell. So he has asked Bart to give the GAC colleagues an update.
Thank you, Leslie. Just this will be a very brief update. The working of the study group, and the full name is the Study Group on the Use of Country and Territory Names as TLDs. So it is, in its name, you already see it's providing, and this is the mandate of the group, it has provided an overview of all relevant current and future policies with respect to the use of country and territory names as a TLD. So it's not just CCTLD, it's also GTLD-related policies. The second task it had was to develop a typology of country names. One of the reasons was, if you look at the applicant guidebook, it has a list of what are considered country and territory names, although it say they're excluded from the first round. And in the CCTLD world, there are different definitions, and probably there are other definitions out there as well. So it developed a typology of country names, and based on the typology, it looked at the policies again and tried to identify issues, if any, when, say, these with regard to these different types of country names. And finally, if it found reasons to, it could recommend any further action to the CCNSO Council. Participants in this working group were from the CCNSO, GNSO, at large, and we had assistance from UNESCO, and we had one or two of your of your members as observers on the working group as well, but really as observers. So, as I said, the draft final report is now out for public comment, and I will just focus on the main observations of this study group and then on the two recommendations of this study group to the CCNSO Council. Major observations was that the typology the working group or the study group has developed has been validated through a UNESCO survey. The UNESCO kindly sent out a survey to 39 of its member states and checked whether these different categories of country names were meaningful to the relevant governments who were involved in that survey. So there's no statistical significance or anything, but they were meaningful, and as such, the study group considers them validated. There is a description of the process in the report. Secondly, as I said, and you probably all are aware, it's a very, very complex area, especially in light of the multitude of languages and script. As soon as you start talking about different languages, you come into how many languages are there, and depending on the list you use, you might end up with 7,000 living languages, and if you would apply this to all country names and territory names, you come up with an endless list. So clearly there needs to be a framework around this. Unfortunately, and based on this one, there is no authoritative list that captures all the nuances regarding country and territory names. And finally, and this is probably going back to the mandate of the working group and the main observation, there is no consistent treatment of country and territory names across the CCNSO and GNSO policy. So it depends very much which path you take or can take, how the country and territory name will be treated and whether or not it may be delegated or. So going to the recommendations, current draft recommendation to the CCNSO Council, and please note we had participants from the GNSO as well, and this was a unanimous recommendation to the CCNSO Council to set up a cross-community working group to review the current definitions and propose a consistent framework across the different policies. As it is so complex area and as it touches upon so many interests of the different stakeholders, the working group recommended it to be cross-community, and the GAC and other SOs and ACs will be invited as part of that cross-community working group. But that's next stage, but that is at least a draft recommendation. And the second draft recommendations, and that is tied to the first one, and please recall the applicant guidebook. Under the first round of the new GTLD round, country names and territory names in all languages were excluded as new GTLDs. The CCNSO Council is recommended to request the board to extend this rule under the new applicant guidebook until such time that this cross community working group comes up with a framework how to deal with the country and territory names under the different policies. That is my update.
Thank you, Bart. Are there any questions on this topic? Iran?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Again, thanks for the presentation. You said that you go to the UNESCO. Do you go to the Secretariat of UNESCO, or is it a member state or member of the UNESCO that reply to that? Because there's a difference between the Secretariat, which has a limited responsibility and mandate, and with the replying entity. That is question number one. Question number two, you said that up to 7,000 different languages and so on and so forth. When I look into the countries and territories' name and so on and so forth in other fora, I see there are some policies that, due to the same difficulty that you have mentioned, there are limitations, and sometimes, not always, sometimes it's limited to specific limitations that make it clear for the people or the countries, not people, government and so on and so forth. So I didn't quite grasp your idea about the number of the languages used for these country names and so on and so forth, and how you are going to build up that and finish that. And you said that the principles in the guidebook will not be updated until you have come up to the reasonable solution. Could you please further clarify the situation with respect to the languages? I can give you one example. For instance, in one organization, we have six only in six languages and so on and so forth, but not more than that. And so I would like to have more information about that. Perhaps I have not properly read. Yes.
Do you mind, Heather? Did I answer? Let me start with the second question. If you look at, and that's the reason why it was included, and that's why I use it as an example, in the applicant guidebook, there is a footnote rule that under the first round of new GTLD applications, country and territory names will be excluded in all languages. In all languages, if you do not have a definition which languages you use, you could end up, and that's why I use the example of 6,000. It's not what this study group is thinking of. It is currently part of the applicant guidebook. Is that you could end up, if you go to the, I think it's the ISO 639/3, there are 7,000 languages listed. So if you do that, multiply that by all country and territory names, you end up with an enormous list, and that's currently policy. So it's in fact the other way around. That's why this study group said there needs to be consistency in the way it's currently framed. It's unworkable for everybody. And your example of six languages, etc., then the whole mathematical issue or the scalability of that rule becomes completely different. Going back to your first question regarding UNESCO, there is a MOU between UNESCO and ICANN. Under that MOU, UNESCO as such has kindly assisted the study group, and what they've done, and that is documented in this interim report, they took on to send out a survey to its member states. And this survey, so the member states responded, and the Secretariat of UNESCO collected the data and provided this to us, and that was clearly stated in the survey, etc. So it is the response of the member state, 39 member states, that say that's a sample just to test the typology. Does this answer your question?
Iran?
Not exactly, but I would be happy to talk to you outside the meeting because of the limitation of the time that we have. But with respect to the MOU, at least in some international organizations, the issue of MOU was discussed, and one of the distinguished government present at this meeting, I don't want to name anybody, raised the question that the validity of this MOU is based whether it is approved by the council or by the highest organ of that union. Otherwise, a simple MOU between the secretariat and outside organization or external organization may not warrant it. So we have to be careful of the norm. And that is a suggestion of that country recently is now under discussion in that organization, and they're going to come back and to review all of memorandum of understanding and to see which one meets the criteria for validity of that memorandum of understanding, because that memorandum of understanding has been signed with the head of that organization, which has the authority, but under certain conditions, certain criteria. Just is the explanatory reason why I have have mentioned that. But for the second questions, I will be happy to talk to you because still I'm not very clear about the languages. Thank you.
Thank you. I have Italy next.
Thank you, Chair. So it is well known that the country codes have ample margin of organization and policy also for protecting territory names in particular, because this is the working group we are discussing right now. So certainly if one try to make an inquiry and then a report on what are the expectations or the actually protected names in the frame of the single country code, we certainly find a lot of variety. And so I can understand that finding a general criteria for approaching this problem within CCNSO is not easy. But what I would like to know, since you say that the GNSO is participating actively in the working group, and what is the scope of this representation of GNSO? Is to do something that is useful for even the new GTLDs in this direction, and to understand better a general policy concerning country names? So I would like to know which is their contribution, their expectation from it.
The GNSO participated, and hence it was called a study group, in understanding the scope of the issues. The GNSO, and as I said, this report and or the final report will be submitted to the CCNSO Council. The GNSO has been kept abreast of the developments, and say the members of the GNSO, so not the GNSO itself, but the individual members participating in this working group unanimously agreed with the recommendations. And whether, so I can't speak on behalf, nor can I speak on behalf of the CCNSO, is how the GNSO as a whole will react on the draft recommendations it's up to the GNSO. At the end of the day, it will be a recommendation to the CCNSO Council, and based on that recommendation, the CCNSO Council needs to adopt it and send it to the ICANN board and send out and create that cross-community work and invite other SOs and ACs to participate in that cross-community working group. So that is the mandate. So it was really to understand the issues involved without going into actions or come up with an alternative whatsoever. That needs to be developed in a consistent manner across and with the assistance and participation of the GNSO and other SOs and ACs. Hopefully, that does it answer your question?
Yes, thank you. And I add simply that you certainly know that protection of geographic names is one of the priorities that GAC has also in discussion on new GTLDs. So an exchange between this activity is certainly more than welcome, and you say that there are already a couple of observers from the GAC. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and let's move to our last item for today.
Okay, thank you, Heather. So our last item for today is an open question. How can we work more effectively together? And that is a question for both GAC and CCNSO colleagues in the room. So we interestingly have some CCNSO members who have been on the GAC, and vice versa. And it is interesting that over the years that they have been involved, they would observe that Sometimes there are great interactions between the GAC and the CCNSO. Sometimes we go away maybe feeling there's something we haven't quite achieved. Certainly, I think in recent times it's fair to say that it feels as though we are reporting in, often as earlier at quite a late stage perhaps, having not engaged or been able to engage with you as much as we both would like. We have also had occasions where we have shared experiences. Colleagues who are present may well remember that we shared, the Netherlands government and registry sharing experiences of implementing DNSSEC. So there is a suggestion that in order to make our time together mutually beneficial, we might think about whether we would want to do more of that. So this is an open question. We'd be really happy to hear views, or maybe that's something the GAC would separately like to take away and think about. But how do we both get more value from this meeting and our interaction?
Thank you. Okay, so we have a question from the CCNSO to all of us. Thoughts? Argentina, please.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Leslie, and thank you all, CCNSO, for being with us today. I want to make a question. Have we, as GAC, ever had a sort of liaison with the CCNSO or something similar to that? Is it possible to have it?
Yes, there used to be a functioning liaison group between the GAC and the CCNSO for a few years back on the previous chair's watch. There were five members from each of the GAC and the CCNSO. Each had appointed a chair, and those chairs would work together on the agenda for the joint meetings. And it was working with some success sometimes, but not always fully successful. But it may be a liaison exercise that's worth doing. I think the real benefit from such a group would be that group continues to swap information all the time, all the relevant information as it comes to them, and therefore feeling informed and being able to inform their communities of developments along the way. So it does take significant effort to do. It's not a simple task, so it does require dedicated resource, and that's probably the main reason why it didn't always work well.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Okay, so a suggestion to look at a liaison arrangement. The Netherlands, please.
Yes, thank you, Leslie, for the question. I think we had in the past sometimes was very good and very productive, and sometimes also due to other more important, more time-consuming issues, we were not so directly in contact with the CCNSO or CC matters. what I think is, I think it's a valid question. One of the things which we could do, and I think we have also internal discussions with GAC members to improve our working methods, is, for example, to, in anticipation of every session we have together, CCNSO, GAC, but also GAC with other, that we formulate some questions already to be tackled, that we maybe already share our presentations, that we can prepare ourselves. So this, I think there's plenty room of improvement. So thank you.
Thank you, Netherlands. Italy, please.
Okay, first of all, an historical note. Today, CCNSU has 10 years anniversary. The GAC produced two versions of country code management principles. The first one before CCNSO existed. And it was not so well appreciated by the community of Country Code at that time, if someone recalled that. Then, we, as soon as we established links with the CCNSO, the relation improved a lot, and in our second version of this country code management, we interacted consistently. So, another thing to say is that a certain number of GAC representatives have direct links with the government, with the country codes, but a certain percentage, not so many. In any case, the relation is important because we are part of the same organization, and then also with the new GTLDs, there will be elaborations and impacts on the market, let's say, of the domain name as a whole, and there is an added value of this interaction that we might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Italy. I think this is a good place to begin to close the session, but I see the UK. Okay.
Are you allowing me to speak? Okay, thanks. I mean, just a thought partly prompted by Italy was that the membership of our two entities, CCNSO and the GAC, in terms of nation states, probably doesn't match up. And there may be some joint working we could do in terms of promoting membership of our respective organization, you know, the CC registry in a country where there's no GAC representation, you know, there's probably some joint effort in we could construct for promoting the model and engagement. And secondly, a joint project, maybe one way of triggering some closer bonding and interaction. I don't have a suggestion for a subject matter of a joint project, but maybe we could think about that. Thank you.
Thank you, UK. I know the CCNSO has approached us a few times to work with us to increase the membership of both our respective parts of the community. So I'm sure that's welcome news that there is still interest in working together in that way. So to come back to the good news that I think our Italian colleague has helped us move into regarding the 10th anniversary and this history of work that has been demonstrated between the CCNSO and the GAC. There will be a party tonight to celebrate the 10th anniversary, and so let's all join that celebration where we can. And as well, I think it's quite appropriate to acknowledge Leslie's efforts as chair of the CCNSO for this period. This will be Leslie's last meeting in the chair role of the CCNSO. So it's quite appropriate for us, I think, to thank Leslie and to acknowledge those efforts.
Thank you very much, Heather. Don't worry, I'm not going too far. Thank you. Okay, on that note, we close?
Yes. So for the GAC, let's have our coffee break, 30 minutes. And a smartphone was left in the room from our last session in the GAC. So it is at the back table, and I guess if you can do an accurate description of what it is, they will hand it back to you. Okay.
So for CCNSO colleagues left in the room, we're going to take our coffee and then be back in our main room in 15 minutes. Thank you.